Last Sunday, we closed the service talking about clothes, talking about the clothes that we wear, not just to church, although what we wear to church is probably important, but more like how we dress every day, what we put on every morning. I'm thinking especially in this time of tension and crisis and all the opinions out there and all the things that we talk about and we think about, our clothing is pretty important. Some of you might have noticed that I probably don't pay that much attention to my clothes compared to some people. Last Sunday, we ended with this scripture and this idea about clothing. Since then you have been risen with Christ, therefore as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. Our clothing is so important, and especially during this time, what we wear when we go out there, what we wear when we hear things, what we wear when people that we don't agree with speak, when we prepare to speak, and what we're going to say, what we're not going to say, when we should hold our tongue, and when we should speak the truth in love. I know I've been saying for 2 weeks, and planning to for two more as I preach in this roughly five-week series about our character and identity during this crisis. What does God say to me? What does God want for me during this time? How does God want me to react to what's going on in the circumstances and the news of today? What am I to do as a Christian? When I feel frustrated, when I feel anxious, when I feel unhappy, when I read things that make my blood boil, what am I to do? What am I to say? How is the church to react to what's going on today? Those are ongoing questions in my mind and my heart. I really hope they are in yours too. If you're a Christian, if you're a believer today, that I hope you're wrestling with that question. What do I do? What do I say? What does God want for me? It does seem to me that our witness at this time is as important as it has ever been in the history of the church. Certainly, I feel that way about the time that I've been a pastor, and I felt that way before. So I don't want to say that this is the only time or whatever, but I have to say that I believe our reaction and our response and our identity during this time is as important today as it's ever been. How we react and the witness that we have. As we demonstrate to the world, what do we really believe about God? What do we really believe about trusting Him? What do we believe about dealing with conflict? We've heard many times Jesus' words, go into all the world and preach the gospel. We know that the mission of the church is to take the gospel to the world, to be His witnesses. And I believe that God calls us in this day to be authentic witnesses of what we have read and we've all our lives, or all our Christian lives, if you've been a Christian, if you are a Christian today, what you have heard about Jesus and heard about God. Putting it into practice today is so important. This is the third of five Sundays that I want to speak about the identity and mission of the church. In this time of pressure, in this time for some that is anxiety, how do we find and keep on course? There are many things about scriptures that are good to be reminded about. One of them, what I just read and talked about, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Another one, 2 weeks ago, we talked about the words of Jesus when Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, "So in everything, do to others as you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets." These are a higher plane, no doubt. They're a higher plane than we live on when we're not listening to God. Certainly a higher plane than the world than the world view. God wants us to see this time and see people and the opportunities different than people around us do. It's a certain plane in our scripture. We read beginning where we find the words about clothing with compassion. And it starts out like this, since we are risen with Christ, because Christ is risen, because of what we know and believe about Jesus, it changes our perspective. It draws us to a certain way of looking at our world. It draws us to understand that God calls us to be a witness during this time. People are watching. People are listening to what and how we respond to this. You have a circle of influence in your life. Whether you're young or old, you've been a Christian a short time or a long time, you have a circle of influence right now about this virus and what's going on. And people are weighing, do you really believe in Jesus? Are you really connected to what you believe and you say and you state that Jesus wants for you? Today is a day of opportunity for us to witness. Do you truly love God? Do you truly trust Him? And so our witness during this time is so important. So I ask that question, what will people see in me? What will my neighbor see in me? What will you see in me? What will the lady in the grocery store line see in me? What will people see of my faith and what I really believe during a time that's difficult and hard in our country? Will they see something that's other than me? The Spirit of Jesus, the love of God, the power to transform. Today truly is an opportunity to witness. And we have got to get our character and our identity from the Word of God and from the heart of Jesus. That's kind of the theme of these weeks that I'm preaching about identity, is we've got to take it from who God is and God's Spirit. There's so many other voices we could listen to today. People with perspectives all over the place. But we need to get primarily and first our sense of identity from what we believe God has given us in His Word. And so today I want to bring another scripture to you and just ask you to think for a few minutes about what it says to us about our identity. John chapter 15, I want to invite you to these words, verses 1 through 8 of John chapter 15. Listen to what Jesus tells us about our influence. I mean, four times in these 8 verses, Jesus talks about bearing fruit. Bearing fruit is very important to Jesus about who we are and our influence. John chapter 15, verse 1 says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." Wow. "If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." These beautiful words of Jesus and picturesque, I mean, all of us can picture the background of Jesus' words here. The grapevine. The trunk. The vine. And all the little branches and the leaves and the fruit. Jesus is telling here that He is the source of spiritual life. He is the source of life for us, spiritually. And outside of that source of life, there is no new growth or life. Jesus must be the source of who we are spiritually. We must understand both His character and His wisdom and His existence as the Son of the eternal God Himself who died for our sins, and what comes out of that source of risen life, spiritual life, truth, vitality, perspective. I'm talking about spiritually, meaning. Understanding an eternal God comes from being connected to the vine. And having Jesus in the right place in your life, first of all, to know that He died for your sins, and there's no way you can be delivered from your sins except through Jesus who died for your sins. An amazing power and choice and love of God. He is the source of life. He is the one that gives us life. Jesus says, I am the vine, and I want to give that life to you so that you live your life and people see me coming out. He says also that we're to remain in Him. It's not just that you come to a knowledge at some point and you say, okay, I knew Jesus, I know who He is, and you walk away from that relationship. Christianity is an ongoing relationship of remaining in Jesus, connected to Jesus. If you were once connected to Jesus and you've disconnected from Jesus, you have no spiritual life. But Jesus offers to us this connection to the truth of the existence of God and the power of God, and we must stay close to Him. Another reason to stay close to Him is so that we'll have a witness that's true and effective. If we disconnect from Jesus, we will have no witness to bring other people to faith in Christ. It's got to be our identity and who we are. He is the life giver. He's the Spirit of life. And we've got to cherish that. We have an opportunity to value who Jesus is and keep Jesus in that place He belongs in our lives. Too many times the temptation is that Jesus can kind of slip off that highest place and slip down behind things or hobbies or relationships, and He just kind of slips down behind, and yeah, He's over there, but you know, He's not really that important. And all of a sudden we realize we're losing connection with God. We don't feel close to God anymore because Jesus isn't in the place that He should be for us. So Jesus reminds us how important it is to remain in Him, how important that Spirit ongoing is. Jesus must be that which we truly value and worship, and we cherish, and we hold on to, and because we're listening to Him. We're hungry for Him, drawing from Him strength, drawing from Jesus the nutrients of what it means to be connected to God. You think of how important it is for the nutrients, the water and the soil to come up through the vine and go out into all the branches, and it's because there's a flow that all the way out on the end where the fruit hangs, they're getting the strength of the vine. In the same way, how important it is to allow the truth of Jesus to come up and through and constantly be with us. Otherwise, we dry out. Otherwise, we lose our life and vitality, and we're disconnected from the vine. We need Him so much. We're also told in these words, in fact, the Scripture, this particular verse that I read, and there are many others, starts out talking about the pruning, that process that's important, that God the Father, Jesus says, is the gardener, and He prunes us. He's checking over us. He's examining us. He's trying to see where it is in our lives that we need to be pruned and adjusted and corrected and redirected and all those things. And the pruning of God is so important. And to accept that and desire that's important. I mean, that's a part of it that we say, God, I want You to prune my life. I want You to have that freedom to address my attitudes and my desires. And, oh God, I give it to You. Please prune my life so that we will bear much fruit. I said a few minutes ago, four times in these verses, Jesus talks about the bearing of fruit. And in verse 2, He cuts off every branch that bears no fruit. Every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. See, God wants this relationship with us that's constantly growing, challenged, directed toward Him so that He can do and speak to us whatever He wants to. In verse 4, verse 5, verse 8, again, bearing fruit. God wants you to bear fruit. Fruit-bearing season. I feel like today is a fruit-bearing season for us in our relationship with God, if we hold on to that. We understand that God has a place of influence for us. The next picture on the screen, I just love this picture. I don't know if you can see it very well, but it's a picture of some grapevines. I want to tell you that 2 years ago, in the late winter and spring, when I usually take time to do it, I never prune my grapevines. I don't remember. I think it was an average year. Grapes. I'm not a gardener. But I have these grapevines, and I think, boy, I really like it when I get a few grapes off of them. And 2 years ago, we had some grapes, and that was really kind of fun. And then I never got to the pruning 2 years ago. I just kept saying, oh, you got to get that done before the sap starts running in spring. So, you can do that next week. Well, you better get that done by the end of February. Well, you know, when March is coming, you better get out there and do that. And I never got it done. And I don't know if that's the reason or not, honestly. But I didn't have a single edible grape the next year. I mean, to me, it was symbolic. Whether that's the reason, I don't know. It's been 2 years that I can remember that we've lived there that the grapes have not produced any grapes, and that was the second time. I had not pruned a bit. But I tell you, there were vines, or I mean, there were branches all over, up and down, this wire and that back wire. It looked good from a distance. I mean, you would look from my back porch and say, wow, Pastor Crowell has the greatest grapes out there. But boy, when you got close, there wasn't a single grape on there, except little tiny ones that were bug infested or whatever happened to them. About 15 feet from my grapevines, across a little, you know, where I have some grass growing, is the field, which my neighbor farms for his corn. But I told him to leave me about 20 feet along that little edge, because that's where I throw all my branches and weeds and stuff that I cut down. So there's quite a contrast between my beautiful looking grapes and then this pile of branches that have been cut off the tree and weeds. You have these beautiful looking grapevines, then you have all this brown, dead stuff. And so when I go out there, I'm reminded about that. That's what happens when you get cut off spiritually. You look like this. Well, going back to my grapevines, that was kind of an offshoot thing. 2 years ago, I had no grapes. So this last winter, I got excited one day. It was like somewhere the early March or something, right about when the virus starts. I said, I'm going to cut those things off. So I go out there, and I start cutting. I start snipping. And that's a problem. Once I start snipping, it's like I can't stop. I think, oh, well, I'll do one more. Oh, but man, I'll do that one. I ended up cutting almost the whole thing apart. I got done and I turned around, looked all the pile laying on the ground, and I looked at my vine and said, man, I have killed that thing. I have killed it dead. It will never, it's not going to come out this spring. I know that. I collected all those branches and and threw it just 15 feet over. Boom. I thought, well, I'll have to go get me another grape plant and plant it, you know, next year. That thing looked so dead for a while. And then about the second week of May, I started seeing these little buds. I think, well, all right, I'm going to get something out of them. Some shoots anyway. And them shoots started coming out. Whew. I thought, wow, well, at least I didn't kill it. And then I started seeing those little pods, you know what I mean? If you have grapes, those little tiny circles. Man, well, take a look at this. It's not that much, but I went and Gideon and I drive under it every time he comes because he wants to ride on my tractor, and we look. He says, grapes, we'll go look at the grapes. Now we drive underneath and look up, and there are dozens of great big bunches, and they look really good at this point. They look better than they ever have. I hope they make it and the bugs don't get them or whatever. But you know what? Without the pruning, I probably would have got what I got last year, I'm guessing. I'm not sure. I had a lot that looked good from the outside, but it had no fruit. And boy, do I want for our church. I want this church to look good. Oh, I love it when people say, oh, I think your church is great, and you got a lot of great activities, and you got a lot of nice people, and you know, all that stuff. They're a giving people. They do a lot of good things for people. That's all wonderful. But you know what? Don't we want a church that sees people come to Christ in these days? Isn't that what we're supposed to be about and want to be about? And so the question is, the way I'm living, what are people going to think about Jesus when they look at my life? I mean, that's a question for all of us. When people get to know you, what do they see about Jesus? Do they see that we really love Him and believe that He is who He said He is? Or is He a cultural God? Yeah, I can be Christian. I'm a good person. I kind of do, kind of, you know, I'm respectable. Or do people see in us a genuine faith? That's my question in this series. What does God see in us? And what does He want for us? And how we live out this virus season, this political season, this unrest, this anger, this hostility. How do we live it out? I know we need to be living in the vine. And I know that we need to have a sense that God's calling us to be His witnesses. That we have an opportunity today to witness for God where we're at. Every person. Your circle might seem very tight. And some of you have circles that just include so many different people and things that it's almost hard to define. But you have a place to serve Jesus. And to be a witness for Him, a genuine witness for Him. I hope you picked up a matchbox. If you didn't and you want to get one after the service, I hope I have enough. I see one down here too. But anyway, I want you to have a matchbox this morning. I want you to think about something. In closing, I want to give you a quote that our district superintendent said this week. He put it on Facebook, and I read it like on Thursday or whatever, and it got my attention. Our DS is going to be here in about 4 Sundays, and I'm really looking forward to that. But he has said some things over the internet that has really been a blessing to me at different times during this virus. I appreciate his perceptiveness, what I perceive as. And well, he put something on Facebook. Could you go to that quote from Kerry Willis for me? I jumped over a couple of things here. And he said the other day, Jesus believers, so What if the world is getting darker? What if it's going to get worse? What if we're going to get more frustrated? More angry? What if we feel more injustice? What if it's not fair? He didn't say that, but I'm adding to that. Who are we going to be? What are we going to be? Do we have the matches and the candles or not? Do we have what God has given us to be witnesses in this day or not? Has He not given us His truth and His grace and character for Christianity that can stand up and be the light to the world that Jesus talks about in Matthew chapter 5? Don't fall into a place of retreat from how important your witness is to the world. God has a place for you to serve Him. And I know it's hard sometimes. I'm sure it is, some of you especially, more than others. There's times I feel anxious. Times I don't know what to preach. There's times when I'm not sure what to say when people are so afraid and hurting. Times when I want to be able to interact with all this civil unrest, but I don't know how. But I'm reminded that wherever I'm at and whoever I am, Jesus calls me to be an influence for Him. Oh, God, help me to do that. And I want to say to you, times when you feel like you don't know what to do, remember, God's called you to be the light of the world. And maybe on a day when you're just simply overwhelmed, take your book of matches and go into the darkest room of your house or where you work or outside. Take those matches and take one out in the darkness and strike it. I blew it out quick. And see what it does to the darkness. You know what it does to the darkness? It drives it away. Oh, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And then He said to us, you are the light of the world. Do men take a light and hide it under a bushel? No, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine. There's so many songs that seem appropriate right now, and that's one of them. Hide it under a bushel? No, I'm going to let it shine. I'm thinking of the song I almost put in the notes and I didn't because I can't do them all, but carry the light into the darkness, to the hopeless. Carry the light. Remember, it's not your light, it's the light of Jesus who lit up the world. I want to encourage you today to know how important your witness is. Don't waste it. Don't waste it living in self-pity or grumbling that things aren't the way they should be. Don't waste your witness. Ask God to show you how to be a light wherever you're at. Would you stand with me, please? I did choose one song for us to sing. It's a children's song. I bet most of you know it. Would you go to that song I have on there, This Little Light of Mine? It might seem very light, little to you. I know it does me. My little light, what can I do with it? It's amazing what light does in darkness. Help me sing this, would you? I tried to sing this in the first service. It didn't go that well. But I have more confidence in you than me. Would you try to sing this with me? This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Don't let Satan poof it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Don't let Satan poof it out. I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. I'll let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm gonna let it shine. I'll let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Thank you. That was really a lot better. I appreciate it. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, I pray that we would recognize the potential, the power, the possibilities of your light. God, help us to embrace it. Help us to seek it. Help us to remain in you. Help us to know we can't, we know we can't do it on our own. But God, help us to choose to be on the path to have you in the place where you need to be in our lives, I pray. Thank you, Jesus. You're amazing, and your wisdom is just incredible. How you saw the world then, and I know how you see it now. God, help us to remain in you, to find our truth and our perspective and our strength in you, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for being here today. I want to say to all those that are on the phone today, what a joy it is to be with you in worship today. I pray that God will watch over you and bless you. Those that are on Facebook and YouTube, I pray that you will sense God's Spirit. I'll just say, what a joy it's been to connect with some people that have not been to church in a long time and to see God's Spirit together. Have a great day. God bless. Bye-bye.